Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
And we welcome you back yet again to another conversation in our Make It Practical segment. This is the second installment in our series as we are looking at belief versus obedience, belief versus obedience, where we're trying to differentiate between head knowledge and heart knowledge, you know, information versus what is transformation. And today, as we converse, we are going to be looking around salvation versus discipleship. You see, often the modern church presents a gospel that focuses almost entirely on the eternal benefits of salvation, a ticket to heaven, forgiveness of sins, eternal security. And that is all good. Nothing wrong with all those themes. Those are part of the Christian religion, are they not? And, you know, we appreciate God for all those realities. But in the Gospels, Jesus constantly offers a much more demanding invitation. He doesn't just ask for casual nod of agreement. He doesn't just say, hey, I'm here to give you salvation. Are you okay? Are you okay? Sharp, then let's go. No, he says, I want you to come. Come and follow me. But not just by following. He says, come and do something that is the antithesis of life. Come and die. And what is the difference between a single believer, a simple believer, and an active disciples, you ask? That's what we're going to be trying to unpack in this conversation, to say this death, how can that be what we are called to when we're supposed to be alive? I mean, he does promise to say, I come to give you life and in abundance. What is this that he's saying we must come and die? So join us in discussion this morning as we chat, looking at this very important subject. And of course, we invite you to share your thoughts, your comments, +27 7347035 20. In conversation with us this morning is our pastor Mfundisi Muwunga, who joins us on the line. Pastor, good morning once again, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Brother Derek, and our listeners. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Good morning to you too, and we appreciate you coming through once again. Now, Pastor, we are looking at the difference between salvation and discipleship, and maybe from a layperson's perspective, as we try to lay aside some of those issues. What would you say, from your viewpoint, is the distinction between the free gift of salvation and the lifelong process of discipleship?
Yeah, thank you very much, my brother and our listeners. I would say from the beginning that salvation and discipleship are closely connected, but distinct aspects of the Christian experience.
Oh, okay.
Salvation is God's free gift of grace received through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It cannot be earned by human effort, like we find in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. We are saved by grace through faith.
Yes, yes.
Discipleship, like you have rightly said, is the lifelong journey of following Jesus, growing in his character, and obeying his teachings, like we find in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And a helpful way to understand the difference is that salvation is the doorway into God's family, while discipleship is the walk that follows after entering the family. Salvation is that instantaneous. You receive the gift, and spiritual growth is progressive, and that is discipleship.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That is discipleship. How must we, you know, I'm talking about now how we are intendedly created in a two-tier system, right? We've made this system in the church where we've got almost we have a room for Christians, you know, the believers that we were addressing yesterday in defining, but also then there's discipleship. Could it be that we have made a system where the church has people who are servants and the others who are just believers?
If for sure, we can say many churches unintentionally present Christianity as simply accepting Jesus for forgiveness, while viewing discipleship as an optional, advanced level for especially committed believers.
Mm-hmm.
But this happens when conversion is emphasized without spiritual growth.
Mm.
Church membership is prioritized over personal transformation.
Yeah.
Where obedience is treated as optional rather than a natural response to grace. However, the Great Commission's command is to make disciples. So when we replace this by merely gaining converts, then there's a challenge there. But what we find in the New Testament, there's no distinction between a Christian and a disciple. If you don't find that distinction, the first believers were called disciples long before they were called Christians. Like we find in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the believers were, all of them were called disciples. So every believer is called to be a disciple. We are fishers of men. You are fished so that you go and fish others right from the beginning.
Certainly, we are called to do it for others as well. And so we find ourselves sometimes doing this unintended thing of thinking we're just here to relax and let others do the work for the rest of us. But isn't there room, though, Mfundisi, for, what do we call it, spiritual gifts, right? Maybe my gift is not to go out there, because surely Romans 10, how shall they go unless they be sent? And then someone is saying, but I'm not an apostle. I'm not having the gift of going out there. Mine is something else. Am I being out of order when I am not then being part of those that are doing this, you know, heavy task and so forth?
No, for sure you're out of order, because the command is very clear. The command is very clear. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, it does not segregate whether you are a pastor, you are, it says go. And when you go, what you do? Make disciples. Not followers, this and that. No, make disciples. And who is a disciple? Someone who must go out. The way you came in, you also have to get another person. And there's a reason for that.
Okay.
You can only grow. You can only grow when you are inviting others. The kingdom of God, the second coming of Christ, becomes fresh in my life as I talk about it. So it's not a favor that I'm doing God or anyone else. It's a favor that I'm doing myself. As I'm inviting others, my hope, my faith also becomes fresh and also grows as I'm doing that. So it's not a favor. It's a way of growing as a Christian. As you invite others, as you see others saved, you also become a strong Christian.
So you're saying then that our spiritual gifts, like I mentioned, are then to be utilized in whatever capacity we have them in this going out.
Exactly. Oh. Those who are good at this, they do that work. Those who are good, like we find in Corinthians and Ephesians there, to edify the church.
Okay.
You bring your part, I bring my part. And then we make one whole. And then we move.
Earlier on in our introduction, Pastor, we made a bold claim that the invitation of Christ is to come and die. He says, come and die. And you get this from Luke chapter 9. In verse 23, he says, if anyone would come after me, if you want to be a follower, if you want to be a Christian, then you must, number one, deny yourself and then take up your cross daily. Now, what is the cross but the very definition of what death is about? And follow me. Now, what does this look like when we now apply it in modern day? Because surely I don't think he's meaning we must walk around the day and go to work and go to school with a cross on our back.
No, for sure he does not.
Yeah.
To our listeners, that we are saying taking up one's cross daily means choosing God's will over personal desires every day. And what does that mean in practical terms? What does it include? It includes choosing integrity when dishonesty would be easier. Remaining faithful to biblical values despite the cultural pressure. Remember one time you talked about the issue of tradition and everything, but remaining faithful to biblical values despite cultural pressure. Forgiving those who have wronged us every day. We wrong other people every day, other people wrong us every day, and we have that duty to forgive them. Sacrificing time, comfort, or resources to save others. That is discipleship, like we have mentioned. Resisting temptations that conflict with God's word. Putting Christ at the center of decisions, relationships, and ambitions. So in a word, we can say the cross is not merely life's hardships. It is the daily surrender of self to God's lordship.
Daily surrender. Daily surrender. There's something called cheap grace, Mfundisi, where we just take whatever salvation offer we receive from God and we take it lightly. And this is a phrase that was coined by the late early 1900s evangelist Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How does this concept of cheap grace apply to believers who accept forgiveness but refuse to follow Jesus' commands? Is that taking grace lightly?
For sure, Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes grace. Grace without repentance, grace without discipleship, grace without obedience, or grace without transformation. And we can say cheap grace says, Jesus forgives me, so obedience doesn't matter. I can receive salvation without surrendering my life. But biblically, grace not only pardons sinners, but also transforms them. That's the grace you find in the Bible. Grace does not only pardon sinners, but it transforms them. Meaning, genuine faith produces a desire to obey Christ, not to end salvation, but because salvation has already been received. And we find that in the command, in the words of Jesus, in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah. So the loving comes first, then the keeping follows. So a professional faith that never results in a changed life should lead a person to examine the authenticity of that faith.
Okay.
So if you say, I've been forgiven, then I don't have to obey Christ, then that faith must be examined. Is it authentic? And the answer is no. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Do what I have taught you.
If you love, keep the commandments and do what he teaches. Is it possible, though, that one could be eternally saved while avoiding discipleship? I mean, is it absolutely necessary?
Scripture, Derek and our listeners, consistently present salvation and discipleship as inseparable realities. You can't separate them. While salvation is entailed by grace, saving faith results in a transformed life. Jesus never invited people merely to believe certain facts about him. He called them to follow him. Say, follow me. So a person may struggle, grow slowly, or stumble repeatedly. But a complete refusal to follow Christ raises serious spiritual concerns because genuine faith produces fruit. That's what we find in Matthew chapter 7. Genuine faith produces fruits. So from a biblical perspective, salvation is by grace alone through faith. But the faith that saves is never alone.
Okay.
It produces obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit.
I love that. It is never alone. It is never alone. It might be faith alone, but it is not alone. The inverse, is that true as well? That one can it be that one can be a disciple but not saved?
That can be challenging, but if we take discipleship in the true sense of the word, that may not be possible, that one can be a disciple and one not be saved, because a disciple is someone who follows Christ.
Okay.
Like he says, follow me.
Okay.
We follow Christ. And why do we follow him? Because he has saved us. The disciple is not following Christ so that he can be saved or she can be saved. No. He follows Christ because she has been saved already or he has been saved already. And because of that salvation, you go out now to lovingly do what he tells us. If you love me, keep my commands. So when we love him, yes, and we do it out of his salvation.
So someone basically who is just doing the acts of discipleship, following through in what you described as what discipleship is in the beginning, you know, this going out, this serving, this taking care of others, this mandating to do this work and that. That person is not necessarily a disciple, just because they did the things.
Yeah, folks, sure, like legalism. Legalism, you are doing all the good things on earth. Whatever is written in the Bible, you do them. But your aim is to end salvation. You deny yourself this, you deny yourself that. That man who say, I'm not like this man. I fast, I do this, I do all the good things. I'm not like this one. But look at the other person who was now justified, who was saying, no, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner.
Yeah.
So we can do all the things around, but if they are not done out of love, out of the salvation that has already been worked out, then we may be like the Bible to say, many are called, but few are chosen.
Ish.
We do all the things. Unfortunately, he says, I did not know you.
Yeah. Maybe let's wrap up then with this, Pastor. How does then the call to discipleship shift our focus from self-effort, like you're saying, this idea of legalism, to something a bit more intentional, something a bit more, I mean, they say surrender, right, to what God is saying through his Spirit?
True discipleship, my brother and our listeners, is not about trying harder, but about surrendering deeper. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit gives us power to obey. So we don't obey out of your own strength or out of my own strength. No. The Holy Spirit produces Christ-like character. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. That's what the Bible says. I will guide you into all truth.
Into all truth, yeah.
He enables spiritual growth. So rather than asking, how can I become holy by my own effort, discipleship asks a question. How can I remain?
Oh, sorry, Mfundisi, we lost you there.
And we can see that
you said, what is the question that discipleship asks?
How can I remain connected to Christ today?
Okay.
And we find this from John chapter 15, verse 5, where Jesus compared this relationship to a branch abiding in the vine.
Mm-hmm.
So the disciples' responsibility is not self-power transformation, but continual dependence upon Christ through prayer, the study of the scripture, obedient to the Spirit's leading. So meaning the more we surrender, the more the Spirit reproduces the character of Jesus within us.
Okay. The more he then does that. Well, thank you, Mfundisi. Final thoughts as we leave today's session. Any call in particular to those that are listening in to move on from salvation to discipleship?
Thank you. We can say as a final thought, salvation is God's free gift received by faith alone. Discipleship is the natural response to that gift, a lifelong journey of following Jesus. The gospel calls us not merely to believe in Christ, but to belong to him, trust him, obey him, and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us daily into his likeness. Mm. As Jesus declared, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So the key thing is abiding, staying in him.
Stay in him. We want to appreciate you, Pastor. Thank you so much for the guidance, and thank you for the wisdom and also for the charge. We pray that may God help us, that we're able to utilize this and put it into practice. Until we chat again tomorrow, God keep you and God bless you.
It's a pleasure, Derek, and our listeners, God bless you too.
Thank you, Pastor Muhunga, there talking to us this week as we are looking at this very important subject. We're looking at discipleship and how that differs, right? This idea of obedience, how it differs from just mere belief. Surely there's a difference.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.